101 WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's Friday, November 18th. On this episode of Redux, the Jacksonville Electric Authority is being investigated by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for allegations of racial discrimination. Then, a recent survey has the River City listed as one of the top places for women to start a business, and in a separate piece, some 50 city businesses are uniting to ban the box. Also, Jacksonville appears to have a knack for producing odd pop culture phenomena that has gained national attention, including the inexplicable rise of Limp Bizkit and the Success Kid meme. But now there's a new trend that has an impressive list of participants, including First Lady Michelle Obama, singer Adele, and pretty much every professional sports franchise known to man. Stay tuned to find out what the fuss is all about. That is, if it's still a thing by the airing of this podcast. But first...
The people have spoken. Donald Trump will be the next president, the 45th president of the United States. And it will be up to him to set up a team that he thinks will serve him well and reflect his policies. And those who didn't vote for him have to recognize that that's how democracy works. That's how this system operates.
That was President Barack Obama when asked about President-elect Donald Trump's selections for his White House team, in particular one appointment that's causing backlash and alarm. That appointment is Steve Bannon, former head of the right-wing Breitbart News, who was tapped as chief strategist and senior counselor to Trump. Bannon's appointment is being blasted by Jewish groups and political operatives on both sides of the aisle who say he's too close to the alt-right and white nationalism. Earlier this week on First Coast Connect, Melissa Ross spoke with one local activist who opposed Trump's election. Delu Saku is chairman of the Kemetic Empire, a First Coast human rights organization, and he had this to say about Trump's appointment.
I think it's interesting that Donald Trump would actually kind of put these people in his cabinet. They're talking about Mayor Giuliani, who's known for the stop and frisk in New York City. So from my perspective, it's interesting. But it's not shocking to see that he would bring an alt-right group who used their huge campaign of cyberbullying, their finances that they've been doing. They've caused a lot of grief online in people's real lives with backing of the Donald Trump and some of his rhetoric.
Fallout from the election also includes renewed debate over the Electoral College. That's because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by estimates of as high as 2 million votes, while Trump won the Electoral College count, which for Clinton means, well, not a whole lot. Yannick Michkowski, a visiting professor of history at the University of North Florida, discussed the origins and purposes of the Electoral College on First Coast Connect.
Yeah, well, as controversial as the Electoral College is today, the historians do debate what exactly the Founding Fathers were thinking, and there are a few things that we can ascribe the Electoral College to. One is, you have to put yourself in the shoes of the Founding Fathers at the time. After the American Revolution and the abuses of Parliament and King George III, the framers of the Constitution were very afraid of strong centralized power. So the Electoral College was one way to protect themselves against, to assert some states' rights. States would be guaranteed some vote in the Electoral College. There was also a concern that the electorate was not well informed. Transportation and communication was not very good back then. So this was a way to ensure that you would have a group of electors, a well-informed group who wouldn't be swayed by passions of the moment, who would decide on who would become president.
We'll have listener comments sprinkled throughout this podcast. First Coast Connect can be heard each weekday morning at 9 a.m. on 89.9 FM or streaming on your WJCT app. All right, now we're switching gears. A group of five JEA employees are alleging racial discrimination has kept them from being promoted within the municipally owned utility. The African-American employees have filed complaints with the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in the last 2 years. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, their complaints say less experienced white applicants were consistently given preference despite their having, between them, more than 100 years' experience with the company.
With more than 2,000 people on the payroll, JEA is one of Jacksonville's largest employers. Despite its CEO saying he wants the staff to mirror the community, personnel records show black JEA employees have made up between 16 and 17% of the staff, despite African Americans making up 30% of the city population. One complainant is 15-year company veteran Ralph Fielder.
It's kind of like the good old boy network, you know, the good old boy system.
Fielder says despite his good performance and years of experience, he was passed up for promotions, and he believes singled out for punishment because he is black. At the same time, a white employee got a free pass.
I'm a 50-something-year-old man. Okay, now I feel that you're harassing me, okay, but you're belittling me also. So now you're trying to, you know, humiliate me.
In broad strokes, all five employees have roughly the same grievance, that the hiring process is opaque, and that makes it easy for JEA to skirt employment law to hire whomever they want. Created in 1965, the EEOC is a federal agency tasked with ensuring companies comply with the Civil Rights Act. Employees can file a complaint simply by sending a letter to a regional office. If the EEOC determines it may be legitimate, it asks the employee to sign formal charges. Jacksonville Human Rights Commissioner Nathan Rousseau says the charges don't necessarily mean the EEOC intends to follow through with a full investigation, nor does it mean criminal charges are coming. But he says bogus complaints are usually sussed out quickly.
I think that if EEOC thought this was insignificant, then this would be known by now.
A JEA spokeswoman told WJCT the company doesn't comment on pending investigations, but did say it's working with EEOC to resolve the matter. Meanwhile, the complainants say they're looking into ways to expedite an investigation that in some cases can take years to complete. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
The time to be concerned about Steve Bannon was when he joined the Trump campaign. It's a little bit late now to be concerned about Steve Bannon being Trump's right-hand man, because he's there. He's a very hateful person, and that is incredibly frightening. And in your monologue at the beginning, you described Breitbart as being sometimes anti-Semitic and sometimes misogynist and sometimes racist. And I guess we've gotten to a new thing in America where you can be anti-Semitic on Tuesday, but not on Wednesday. And you can be a racist on Thursday, but not on Friday. It's the whole thing is very scary. I feel like this is going to be the Star Trek presidency. We're going to go where no country has gone before.
That was one of our callers, Jason from San Marco, on the appointment of Bannon. And now, a recent analysis ranks Jacksonville among the country's top 30 cities for women to open a business. In this week's Business Brief, analyst John Burr tells WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo what makes this city so attractive to female entrepreneurs.
John, you've started a business, right?
Yes, I have.
But never as a woman.
Never as a woman.
Okay, so what do you know about women starting businesses in Jacksonville?
So I talked to a couple of women who know a lot about starting a business in Jacksonville. The first was Ansa Begg, the CEO of Health Designs, and she's a former Small Business Person of the Year in Florida. And then I talked with Renee Parento, who owns a very successful makeup and photography business in Springfield.
Yeah, she's actually done makeup for a lot of WJCT television shows.
Parento, who moved to Jacksonville from Los Angeles 9 years ago, she's found networking here to be easy and very productive.
I mean, if anybody you want to meet, pretty much, you can access them. You can go have lunch, you can network, you just tell people, I need your help on this. Everybody's willing to help. So it's kind of like a small town, friendly, yet big enough to be a great place for business.
They both mentioned that there are several groups that Jack's Chamber runs that are geared toward women and target women starting small businesses, and those groups have been very helpful. Sabag, she started her business 20 years ago. A lot of these things were in place back then, so this is a long-term positive that the chamber has provided.
What do these business owners think the city could be doing better for women?
Well, Ansebag noted that she thinks Jacksonville needs more women in leadership positions.
Not necessarily and solely related to women business owners, but certainly women leaders. There are not. I mean, it's a paltry number that we have at, you know, our big organizations. Fidelity, JEA, JIA, JAA.
And she made the point that men have a role to play here by mentoring and promoting women into leadership roles.
Having the good old boys around them only gives them more of their same thinking. If companies are now going to be successful long-term in this market, in the global market, in how the world is today, it's going to take a lot more diverse thinking. And women have a different skill set. You know, certainly we're more collaborative than competitive.
And I'm glad I get to collaborate with you, John, every week.
Oh, I thought we were competing.
That's WJCT business analyst John Burr. He talked with Anne Sebag, who's the CEO of Health Designs, and makeup artist and photographer Renee Parenzo. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
It's sour grapes. What are you doing? Why are you out protesting? The election was won by this person, and he's already starting to backtrack on some of the things. So maybe the fact that he won the election, maybe he's going to be more moderate. You don't know. Your protesting is not going to do anything. All it's going to do is make you feel better, but the time to protest was when you voted.
That was Al from Riverside calling in about the recent spate of protests surrounding Donald Trump's Electoral College vote victory. The Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce is spearheading an effort to get employers to put people ahead of arrest records. Businesses are embracing what's commonly known as banning the box, or leaving the question of prior convictions off initial job applications. Representatives from dozens of large and small companies alike gathered on the steps of the Chamber building earlier this week in support of what they're calling Project Open Door. Chamber President Audrey Moran says it puts hope back in the job hunt equation for applicants with a criminal record.
This does not tell companies who to hire. It simply keeps people and their applications from immediately being discarded because of an arrest, which could be for a minor offense many years ago.
According to the Chamber of Commerce, a quarter of working-age Americans have an arrest record. Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams says hiring qualified job applicants, regardless of their criminal past, makes sense from a law and order perspective.
You know, we talk a lot about fighting crime in the community and our model of prevention, intervention, and enforcement. And on the intervention side, we define that as intervening in the lives of people when they need it the most. But sometimes it's just a matter of giving someone an opportunity. And if you give people an opportunity, you give people hope.
Edward Waters College President and former Duval County Sheriff Nat Glover says Project Open Door gives hope to people who need it most.
Why ruin the rest of a person's life without consideration of what were the circumstances, why you did that, and your kind of gut feeling on would this be a good risk for my company? That's what we are trying to achieve.
Glover adds that his arrest at the age of 17 would have permanently derailed his future in law enforcement if someone hadn't taken a chance on him. So far, some 50 Jacksonville businesses have signed on for Project Open Door. And finally, a group of Jacksonville high schoolers is getting a dose of internet fame after they started a nationwide viral video phenomenon called the Mannequin Challenge. Everyone from Michelle Obama to the Kardashians are posting their own imitation videos after the teens posted the original one about 3 weeks ago on Twitter. As WJCT's Jessica Palumbo reports, the Ed White Military Academy students hope the national attention helps them give back to their community.
Mannequin Challenge videos each show a group of people holding frozen poses as a handheld camera winds between them.
We thought it was just going to be different high schools in our area doing it. And then it like really touched just to see it blow up over a week.
That's Jasmine Cavins. You might know her as the girl in the burgundy hoodie sticking out her tongue in the original video. After the Ed White Jr. posted the clip on October 26th, national politicians, athletes, activists, and hundreds of regular social media users have taken the mannequin challenge and posted their own.
Last year, we were known for a school of fighting. The fights would get on the news, and now the challenge makes the school look more positive, like we're bringing people together with this challenge.
Emily Allen, the girl wearing the Ed White softball jersey in the video, says the most surprising imitation they've seen was reality star Blac Chyna's in a hospital delivery room.
And that was kind of crazy for her to be thinking about the mannequin challenge while she's giving birth.
The girls say their schedule now involves lots of media interviews, like this one. They've even been in touch with the bookers for the Ellen DeGeneres show, though there's no confirmed spot for them yet. And Jasmine Cavins says some attention is coming from people looking to make a profit.
They were kind of weird. They said that if we sell the brand of the mannequin challenge, they would give us 75% of the money they make off of it. So things like that.
She says instead the teens and their parents are talking about going it on their own with something like mannequin challenge t-shirts. And if they do make money, she says they want to donate half of it to local nonprofits that help families in need. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. We usually save this portion of the show to introduce our Redux listeners to WJCT's After Hours musical programming. And while you'll hear some form of these songs on the Electro Lounge, Indie Endeavor, String Theory, and even Blues Horizon, we're going to take the time right now to celebrate the life of Leonard Cohen, who died November 7th. Please enjoy.
Now I've heard the that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And that concludes Redux. I'm Vince Kong. Thank you for listening.